B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
One more time, Ryan Tannehill. In the victory formation, he takes a knee in his 100th start. Ryan Tannehill has led the Titans to a victory that is leading them for the first time in 17 years to the American Football Conference Championship game. The Tennessee Titans have shocked the world, coming into Baltimore and upsetting the number one seed in the AFC decisively. Final score, Tennessee 28, Baltimore 12.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. It's Felger and Maserati on a re-entry Monday. The re-entry Monday is presented by East Boston Savings Bank. Everything from the weekend, which is largely NFL divisional weekend. And the jumping off point is the action in the AFC. And I got a bunch of topics to get to with these guys. And we're going to, as it relates to the divisional weekend in the NFL. Maz Murray, how you guys doing?
Good, you?
Good.
Coming alongside here on our Town Fair Tire Studios. But just within the last few minutes, there was breaking news in Major League Baseball. And it was significant. So I think we should start with that and just get your immediate reaction, Maz, to what went down. And if people are just joining us here on the NBC Sports, Sports Boston simulcast or on the radio, just you have Jeff Passan's tweets up in front of you. The punishments have come down for the Houston Astros for their sign-stealing fiasco. What are they?
Okay, Jeff Passan again, as you said, of ESPN, longtime baseball reporter. Houston Astros GM Jeff Luhnow and manager A.J. Hinch have been suspended for 1 year after an MLB investigation found the team cheated. And then additionally, the MLB will fine the Astros $5 million, take away their first and second round picks in both 2020 and 2021. Sources tell ESPN, discipline for Red Sox manager Alex Cora is coming. It is going to be harsh, per sources. And what I would say is good. Good for Rob Manfred. Like, I felt like the commissioner's credibility was at stake here in this thing. And we talked about it last week briefly, and I told you I'd give Cora 50 games in spring training. You're out. You don't get to prepare your team for the season. See you on June 1st. And you know what? I think I was low. I think people thought I was high, including myself, and I think I was low.
So he's going to get a half year at least.
He's going to get walloped. And you know what? He deserves it. The Astros deserve it. The Red Sox deserve it, whatever comes out of this. Because, again, the Red Sox are two-time losers. The commissioner warned everyone in 2017 during that whole Apple Watch thing with the Red Sox and Yankees. He warned them, the next time, I'm not going to be so kind. And to me, you got to absolutely light these people up. Light them up.
Okay, so the Astros got lit up today. So this is why I think this is breaking. Not that they got punished. We knew that was coming. I think this is over the top of what anyone expected. I think this is...
Oh, he hammered him.
This is double, I think, what anyone expected. I think this is at least 2x the harshest estimate I heard of. I don't know. Were people talking about a year?
No.
For Hinch and the GM?
No, I mean, no.
I said it as a gag, but that's about it.
I mean, picks this year and next, their first and second round picks both this year and next.
2020 and 2021.
Murray, what's your reaction?
I love it. Well, for one, I mean, look, you want me to be back into baseball, then make it what it was. And I think it's been ruined by the nerds and these guys that fancy themselves the smartest guys in the room. And it's win at all costs. And that's helped ruin the game in recent years. So I think what's happened here and what's about to happen to Alex Cora is a direct result of a commitment to analytics and these nerds, these Ivy League dorks that have taken over the game. And it's not about cheating. It's about being the smartest guys in the room. This is an effect of trying to get the game back to what it was. So they're coming down hard on him. And in Cora's case, he's not involved just in one of these. It's two. So he's going to get whacked.
I don't know if he'll get it worse than the Astros. But regardless, the other thing I told you at the time was I want names.
I mean, I
want
the
people.
Right, and they gave it to you.
Absolutely. Hinch and Luhnow both whack. Done for a year.
Oh, you want more of this? Cora is definitely going to get whacked. So now there's portions of this MLB report is coming out in regard to Houston, and Cora's name's all over it.
all over it. Approximately 2 months into the 2017 season, a group of players, including Carlos Beltran, discussed that the team could improve on decoding opposing team signs and communicating the signs to the batter. Cora arranged for a video room technician to install a monitor displaying the center field camera feed immediately outside of the Astros dugout. I mean, he's the guy behind it.
You know what? When I hear that detail, he was right in the middle of it. Wouldn't surprise me if he gets a year, too.
I was going to say, so am I low to say half a year?
Maybe. Yeah, look, I think they're going to get walloped. I felt this way as soon as, you know, this stuff started to come out. The commissioner's credibility was at stake. It's like you can't come out and tell people 2 years ago, you do this again, I'm going to obliterate you, and then not obliterate people. So, like, whatever they get, I mean, if this ends up being what Hinch and Lou now got, the Red Sox have to find a manager.
Okay, so.
Here's more, just real quick. Yeah. Early in the season, Alex Cora, the Astros bench coach, began to call the replay review room on the replay phone to obtain sign information.
Wait. He called from the bullpen phone from the dugout.
Early in the season, Alex Cora, the Astros bench coach, began to call the replay review room on the replay phone to obtain the sign
replay phone
information. You go from this team to come here in 108 wins, and now there's the Red Sox involved in 2018. Oh, he's going to get so whacked.
They were doing the same thing in Boston, just not banging on the garbage can.
Correct.
They were using the replay room to steal the signs, and then someone would run to the dugout. They used the Apple Watch there for a little bit. That predated Cora. But they were using the replay room, and someone would run to the dugout, and so they just eliminated that calling from the Red Sox dugout thing. But it's essentially the same scheme.
Correct. They're going to get walloped. He's going to get walloped. And again, I give Manfred credit on this one. Because to me, he came in even harsher than I thought. Okay. I did not anticipate a year plus those draft and fines. The fines are irrelevant. Who cares?
So your bench coach is Ron Renicki?
Correct.
Nervous Nelly. Not a manager. At Washington, Milwaukee. Not a manager. Mm-mm. Nope. So does this impact the baseball team?
Absolutely it does.
Does that include spring training? It must, right? If it's the year.
I would think so.
If he's not going to manage, why is he in spring training?
Yeah, I mean, to me, the commissioner, I would stipulate that if I'm Manfred. To me, spring training is one of the only times you do actually manage. Like workloads and things like that, get your team ready, put the programs in place. That's why I say no spring training. There's a penalty there for the manager to be absent.
Reentry Monday, presented by East Boston Savings Bank. Topic number one. The punishments doled out to the Houston Astros and what's coming for Alex Cora and how that relates to the Boston Red Sox. 617-779-0985. You may release the hounds, Jimmy. Thank you. Item number two. Do the events of this weekend in the AFC give you cause for remorse as it relates to the Patriots, i.e. the Patriots' failures are even more, were driven home even more because the AFC, the power, quote-unquote power in the AFC, is vulnerable. Baltimore gets knocked off. Kansas City goes down 24-0 in the first half in their building. Does that give you more cause for remorse for the way the Patriots handled the stretch here?
My answer is yes. My answer is yes. And I'll tell you why my answer is yes. Because Baltimore went down, which means you would have had home field. I go back to the Miami game more than anything. And I'm sorry, even with the way they were playing, I put emphasis on the Miami game. You couldn't beat Miami. You couldn't beat Miami. With allegedly the boogeyman defense on the field with a 4-point lead and 3 minutes to go. You couldn't close that out and beat Miami, you'd be home for the AFC Championship game. You'd be home for it.
I do too, Murray. I do too. I think it's fair to say. Because
who got to you two?
Well, what do you mean? Go ahead, give me your take.
This was the most annoying narrative of the weekend, and it would even be worse if Houston didn't blow yesterday's game in Kansas City or get exposed as that game went along. This is a fake narrative. The Patriots got what they deserved. That wasn't a fluke loss in Week 17. It all came home to roost. The defense, with their fake stats that they bumped up as they continued to play a historically easy schedule early in the year, they got what they deserved. They got shredded. That was trending that way during the last 4 to 5 weeks of the season. So they ended up playing Wild Card Weekend. They should have ended up playing Wild Card Weekend. They shouldn't have been hosting in the divisional round. They lost that game fair and square. The offense was trash. The defense was overrated. And even if they did, you would have been delaying the inevitable. So what you saw this weekend with the Titans going into Baltimore and winning and Kansas City scoring 7 straight touchdowns against Houston yesterday, you're saying, oh no, that was fake. Oh no, the AFC is actually down. The Patriots really blew it. then your eyes don't work. The right teams are in the conference championship.
Yeah, I'm not saying that the Patriots were going to win a championship or anything alike. I'm not going that far. They had their flaws. They blew the opportunity. They blew it, that Miami game, because Baltimore was clearly flawed.
Well, not Baltimore. Flawed or not ready.
Well, okay, so that's what I mean.
Not ready on some level. They were not ready to play that ball game. They got ahead of themselves, inflated heads, immature. Somewhere in there, some intangible in there with Baltimore got in the way of them being ready to play that ball game. And all of them, and I'm not even talking about the quarterback, although he's partly responsible, but that whole team got ahead of itself. It felt like that Ravens loss to me felt like so many I saw from the Steelers over the years, where they're just, you know, packed their bags, they're on their way, Yahooville, and it just permeates the culture and the team, and then the next thing you know, someone comes in there and pops them in the mouth. And so Baltimore was vulnerable. Baltimore was vulnerable. Maybe not to you, but what I saw this weekend was the AFC being the AFC. I mean, Baltimore's head and shoulders the team that should be there, right? And they're not ready to go, and they get punched in the mouth by a team without a quarterback. And then Kansas City has their shot. The Patriots are gone. KC, it's all their form. Baltimore loses the day before. So now it's all there in front of Kansas City. New England gone. Baltimore gone. Home field theirs to be had. And they come out. Drop, drop. Block, punt, fumbled, punt, drop. 24-0 down. I'm like, well, that's the Chiefs. That's the AFC. So I'm not telling that your team's any better than it was, Murray, but it's the road. Don't you get it by now? It's the road. It's the road. So you don't play wild card weekend. You host one of these not ready for primetime teams, and now you're in the AFC title game. You don't think with all their flaws, the Pats could have been in that spot?
Yeah, they would have lost this weekend. Is what I expected anyway. Even if they ended up beating Miami, then they play this weekend, they had the week off, and they lose. They lose to Kansas City because they weren't that good.
See, I'm not convinced of that.
Oh, my God.
I'm not, and I'll tell you why I'm not convinced of that, because Kansas City came here late in the year, and the game was
bad
officiated.
Couple calls either way,
yeah,
exactly.
It was, you know, again, if they're home with a week off. And that's the big one to me was Baltimore.
Home with a week off. Are you watching? I mean,
you're giving that team too much credit.
But I'm not. It's not about the team. It's about the road. Tennessee has broken through here. But if you've just paid attention to the league the last several years, half dozen years, it's chalk. It's the bye. It's the road. It's so huge. It's so huge, the road, and being one of those bye teams and what it's meant for you over the years and how you've taken advantage of it over the years. And how everyone's puked on themselves while you're sitting home waiting for it. It would have happened. It happened yesterday. It happened this weekend, right? It was the same script.
Oh my gosh, it was unbelievable.
If you had just taken care of business and been in your spot, everyone else would have cannibalized each other and puked on each other, and you'd be sitting here getting healthy. That's how you've done it. And that was there for you again this year. You can't stop Ryan Fitzpatrick on that last drive. Yeah. Come on.
Because the defense wasn't that good. And they were overrated, and they got inflated egos, and they got exposed down the stretch over the last 5 weeks. Again, including the wild card game. 5-5 in their last 10. More indicative of who they truly were. They were home. They're home this weekend for a reason.
They blew it, Murray. Yeah,
they got what they deserved.
And
they
Murray,
blew it.
The year before, you could say roughly the same thing. The year they won the championship. And you know why they won the championship? Because they had a bye. They had a worse record than this year. Roughly.
But ultimately a better team.
I don't know.
They were.
Yeah.
Healthier. At the very least, they were healthier, and that mattered.
I think the 2019 Patriots had a better defense than the 2018 Patriots. Gronkowski maybe was the one difference. Big difference. But I don't know.
The O-line.
And the O-line, yeah, had a stronger
Healthy
finish.
Edelman.
But it was still, I don't know. 18-19, roughly the same bird to me.
Oh, my gosh.
You're home with a bye in 1 year, and you're not in the other.
No remorse.
I have never seen greater ineptitude by a team in all phases of the game than Kansas City in the first quarter yesterday. I have never seen anything like that.
Yeah, boy, they really seized the day there, huh? All right, we're off and running. Your call's on all of it right after these words.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
24-7 Houston. 8:32 to go, second quarter. That's a fake punt. They fake the right side and tackled short of the first down. Great play. Dirty Dan Sorensen would not be fooled. A gain of two on third down and four. Dirty Dan makes the big play, stopping the fake punt. Lit by the special teams play, died by the special teams play, and right there he was not fooled. Credit to Dave Tobe having his guys coached up and ready to go, and now the ball on the Texans' 33-yard line. The Chiefs right here, they've got to take advantage of this. The momentum, it comes and it goes, but the confidence, it grows, and right now it's growing for Kansas City.
What a great job by Dan Sorensen to stay disciplined, Kendall. Fourth and four, fake punt goes for 2 yards.
Bill O'Brien. You ever see anyone with a worse feel for the game than Bill O'Brien?
I mean, that really, that call there was unbelievable.
You could debate either one, not going for it on fourth and one and kicking the field goal and then going for the fake punt. They're just two different strategies.
But it also happened in succession, I think, is what made it feel even worse.
Well, so, and it's like you're doing opposite things there. You know, you're either being bold and going for 50 points, or you're going to play the clock and field position and whatnot. So you kick the field goal there, fine, then you punt away. And now that's a game strategy. You know, he's just all over the place. And, you know, what made it worse on the fourth and one not going for it is that they originally said yes, but they couldn't get the play in time, which drives me bananas. So they're not organized on the sideline. And then when they get to the timeout, it's like, okay, let's change our mind. And so what are you doing? There's no cohesive sort of overall game plan.
He's like a bad blackjack player.
And he's reactive. And his feel for the game blows. So was that game more about Kansas City and their explosiveness or Houston blowing it?
Houston, 100%. I shouldn't say 100%. That's not fair. Because Kansas City's explosiveness is a massive factor. But 75-25. How about that? Oh, my gosh. You're on the 31-yard line. And it's fourth and four. It's not fourth and one or two. It's fourth and four.
And I'm going to ultimately say Kansas City and their explosiveness, because those first 24 Houston points really came due to drops from Kansas City and bad special teams play, the block punt. It was their ineptitude and the fact that they started that game showing up like they had already won it. And then when they turned it on, they were unstoppable.
I'm sorry. I put huge emphasis on that punt. Like, even the field goal, I hear you. It is. It's inconsistent. No disputing it. You still get 3 points. You're up 24-0.
Yeah.
Then they score, and you get the ball in the 31. What are you doing giving them another touchdown?
Exactly. I mean, you're teetering on the momentum changing, and you just give it to them.
Oh, my gosh. Stunning.
So take one approach or the other. Go for it on fourth and one and fake the punt. Now I get it. Now that's the way you came into the ball game to play the game. But he's all over the place. And so the AFC being the AFC, never mind KC tried to blow that game. I mean, how do you come out like that? Drop, fumbled punt return for a touchdown, drop. Like, oh my God. All right, so this and the impending Cora punishment, which according to Jeff Passan is going to be worse than what A.J. Hinch just got in Houston, which is a year. Worse than a year is what Passan says is coming for Alex Cora, the mastermind of the thing in Houston, and obviously what happened here as well. So your thoughts on all of it. In fact, let's lead off with that. Jefferson in Foxborough. Go ahead, Jefferson.
Going, guys. So that is such a great punishment. They deserve it. Now, what does that mean if the Red Sox lose some draft picks like that in regards to re-signing Mookie Betts for free agency? Just they're going to have a crapshoot of a farm system.
Okay, so just answer that. It has nothing to do with Mookie Betts.
No, I mean, but I think what he's saying is that if they were to get some sort of compensatory selection and they, you know, do they then lose it? And my answer would be, I don't know. But Cora is going to get absolutely freaking hammered in this thing. I told you, and I'm not trying to, like, I thought 50 games was a lot when I said it. And I was low, way low.
He's going to, again, according to Jeff Passan, that Alex Cora can expect a punishment worse than what A.J. Hinch just got, which was a year, a season, essentially. Mike in Framingham on the football. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, how many years have I been listening to some douchebag from Wisconsin tell me running backs don't matter in this league? Well, you know what? When they're Sony Michel, they don't matter. But when they're Derrick Henry, they matter. And the bottom line is if we swapped running backs, we'd be going to a seventh Super Bowl. So how about a mea culpa? Grow some, Felga. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter when they're great.
Nah. I wouldn't pay him. I wouldn't draft him. I'd take Derrick Henry, sure. I wouldn't draft him in the first round. I wouldn't pay him. If they gave him a second contract, they'll be stupid. And you wait, they will. They'll give him a second contract, and just by the time they get to that second contract, he'll be toast.
Can we come to an agreement on this conversation, though? Because I've definitely leaned too far in the running backs matter, and I think that Todd Gurley contract shows you shouldn't pay those guys that kind of ridiculous money, and I agree with you in that they'd be wrong to give that kind of money to Henry. But the running game matters. The running game matters. These teams prove it. The Niners and the Titans have proven the running game still matters in the NFL.
See, I was just going to say, I think it's about their O-line. That Tennessee O-line's good. They are. They're good. And I just Googled it to see what some of the metrics, and they were in the top five in the league.
Sure. So, yeah, look, I think the running game has made a little bit of a comeback. I mean, the running game is hugely important to San Francisco, very important, obviously, to Tennessee. It was really important to the Packers this year. So I do think, and it was important to you last year going to your championship. So, yes, I'll grant you that the running game and teams that run the ball have fared better recently. I still see, you know, Tom Brady last year. This year I see a Super Bowl that could be Aaron Rodgers, Pat Mahomes. I mean, I just have a hard time saying, what I'd rather be a running team than have one of those quarterbacks? I mean, is that what you want to debate? Is that what you want?
No. Look, again, to me, there's a different argument there. One is the running game. One is the guy who's actually carrying the ball. Because I think it relates to offensive line play. Shouldn't the Patriots be proof? The back didn't change.
Right, exactly.
The line did.
Exactly.
Okay, so what was it? It was the line.
Yeah, so the running game. So beating up on smaller defenses and things like this. Fine. I feel there's been a little trend like that. Just get back to me when a bad quarterback wins it all. And then we can really talk. And you tell me, you know, just really what it means at a championship level. Jake in Boston. Go ahead, Jake.
Oh, this is such a great day. Listen, we didn't even need this report on Alex Cora, and this should be a lifetime ban. Do you realize in the 2018 postseason, the Red Sox hit .415 with 31 ribbies with two outs and runners in scoring position? So don't even give me the whole thing that they didn't use it in the postseason. This was by far the best number for a team with two outs and runners in scoring position in 100 years of postseason baseball.
Is that true? I'm going to stop him right there.
So it could be. The other thing is, as he said it, you know what it popped into my head? How many grand slams did they hit in the month of April? Do you remember that? Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay, so you got a guy on second base, right? I mean, like, now I look back at that and I say they were stealing signs. They knew what pitch was coming, and they're jacking the ball out of the ballpark.
Jackie Bradley Jr.'s performance ended up the ALCS MVP. Put an asterisk all over that fake title. Tainted.
I mean, really? Like, and now, apparently, if I'm getting this right, though, by 2018, they were preventing people from going into the video room in the postseason. Right? So I don't know. Now, again, were the Red Sox relaying messages to the dugout via text and phone? Because I just got into this commissioner's statement and it said that the Astros had cell phones in the dugout.
Ugh.
Okay? So the Red Sox might have been stashing them in there, too, and still getting the information out of there, even though no one was actually walking into the video room. They're going to get drilled, and they deserve it.
If you're just joining us, the Houston Astros got obliterated today by Major League Baseball. Hinch and the GM, each a year suspension. The team, $5 million. The team, first and second round picks both this year and next year. Massive penalty from Major League Baseball. And Jeff Passan reports that Alex Cora can expect a punishment worse than Hinch's. So at least a year? At least a year. Let me ask you, how do you keep a manager if he's going to be out more than he's going to be gone a year and a half, 2 years? So you come back in 3 years and Alex Cora is your manager?
No, it's like Michael Vick.
No, explain that to me.
I don't know.
Is that right, Murray? Do you have it in front of you? Was that the actual line from Passan?
Say again. What was the line you were looking for?
That Cora can expect a punishment worse than AJ Hinch?
Yeah, let me find it verbatim. Hold on.
I mean, he is going to get absolutely annihilated in this thing. And The actual length of the suspension for Hinch, I find stunning. I thought he was going to get
I'm sorry to cut you off. It is still a massive suspension, and considering Alex Cora's apparent culpability, his is bound to be far longer. Far longer than a year? Far longer than a year.
I mean, if he gets popped for 2 years, I don't know what you do.
I mean, just starting to read through this thing.
He's not your manager.
I think you're right.
If he's suspended for 2 years, you can't.
Yeah, I think that's it.
What are we in 2 years? What's going to, you know, the earth's going to be a smoldering, the apocalypse. Like, who knows?
The seas are going to be boiling.
Exactly. In 2 years? If he's suspended 2 years, he's not your manager anymore.
That's probably right. I can't imagine that you could, you know, you'd have to go find a long-term replacement. Now's a tough time to do it, but you'd have to do that.
Reaction to a divisional weekend and the impending Alex Cora punishment and the suspensions handed down to the Houston Astros, all on the table right after Murray's update here. We have to tell you about our presenting sponsor here on Mondays at East Boston's Savings Bank. We'll actually do that in an hour.
Exactly.
Talk to our friends here in a minute, but to your phones after the update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tonight's ground game stats powered by Senex. Packers to the line of scrimmage. 2 minutes to go in the game. Seattle, one timeout left. Third and nine for Green Bay. Huge play here for the Packers. Rodgers in the shotgun. Three receivers right. Devontae left. Snap to Rodgers. Blitz on. He throws it over the middle. Jimmy Graham's got it. Stumbling close to the first down. He's got the first down. From right to left. Between the numbers, he goes down to the left side. 36-yard line of Seattle. First and 10. Gain of nine. Oh, that was huge. Well, the play, as you might have heard in the background, is under review now. I don't think there's anything wrong with the catch. I think what they're reviewing is whether he made the line to gain for the first down, Rock.
I think you're absolutely right because the catch looks solid. But it's where that knee goes down and where they consider him down.
And I don't know.
And anything I've seen so far has been inconclusive.
Inconclusive, yes. Matter of fact, I think they got a pretty good spot on it, but the angles we've seen,
I've seen nothing that would overturn it.
After review of the play, the ruling on the field stands as called.
First down, a minute 48 to go.
All right, thoughts on that? Thoughts on, well, the Packers, Aaron Rodgers, and that spot on third and nine with Jimmy Graham?
I thought it was too difficult to overturn. And so, you know, because when he hits the ground, his helmet hits the ground, his knees, his legs don't hit. You know, to me, it was too hard to call. And so they called it a first down. It stays a first down. I thought they got it right.
I thought that they were short, but at that point, and I know a lot, you know, like social media lost their mind about that, and it's in the bag, and they want Rodgers in the championship game, and blah, 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 all of that. The Seahawks truly lost that game on in their last drive, second down. The ball clangs right off that wide receiver's hand that they immediately took off the field. And after that, it's like, oh, well, that was your chance. You blew it. Rodgers, I thought, was, at the risk of sounding corny, sublime in this game. Like, he was, that was vintage Rodgers. And I didn't really like the Packers' chances of going in there next week and beating the Niners, but if he can look like that, they got a shot.
Yeah, that is their chance. I thought they got a good spot, obviously. I think what was deceiving is I think the yellow line was off because you see a couple, and we've showed a couple stills on the NBC Sports Boston simulcast. I feel like the TV line was
a hair ahead.
Yeah, like maybe not a yard ahead, but a foot ahead. Because when you see it from the side, there's that little first down pylon and like little
overlay.
Yeah, a little overlay thing they put on the field there. And I felt like he was on that. He was definitely not on the yellow TV line. You know, he was short of that. His helmet hits the ground on the yellow TV line, and the ball had to be behind that. So, I mean, it was a good spot. I think what people are leaving out is that, well, that's fourth and short at the 31-yard line. So, like, that's a 48, 49-yard field goal, which Crosby has there. So that could have been 3 points. I could have gone for it on fourth and short and snuck it for a first down, and that's the game. So, like, that doesn't end the game. There was a whole nother thing there to play out that I feel like is being left out. That was vintage Rodgers. But, you know, I'll say this. Like, I've heard all this over the years about Rodgers. There's all these stats with Rodgers, these clutch stats, these fourth quarter stats. Like, they don't stack up. And, like, he's I think some people have been led to believe, like, he's not a good clutch player, which is just not what I've seen over the years. I've seen him do that many times over the years. In other words, I think he's a better big game player than his numbers say. And I think he's generally been good in that spot. I trust him in that spot.
I mean, that third down pass to Adams was ridiculous.
Stupid. Stupid good.
I mean, he is. He's. I thought the quarterback play in the game on both sides was good.
Outstanding. I'm still taking the other guy over Rodgers. The other guy's unbelievable.
I mean, he really doesn't have much. To get them back in that game was all him.
Thank you. That team kind of stinks. That he was able to pull the carcass of that team back into that game and almost win it is pretty impressive. Because it's Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, I guess, and a couple of decent players on defense. That's it.
It's all him.
It is. It's entirely him.
Of their second half comeback plays, how many were drawn up? In other words, how many were the play that were called in the huddle? Maybe 15%, 20% of them? 4 out of 5 snaps, I'll say. It's all him eluding something, getting to the edge, and creating something. So it's just purely him. I mean,
there was one I remember on a third down to Lockett where he ended up running to his rolling out to his left. I don't know how he got the ball in there. I have no idea how he got the ball in there.
So it's not just his physical abilities, his elusiveness, which is off the charts. His elusiveness is absolutely, I don't know if there's anyone more elusive than that. And the way he throws, but there's also, he's just got this incredible intangible. He's just winning player, never give up kind of player. And it permeates the team. He makes people around him better. He lifts the team. Like all those corny cliches Russell Wilson has, man, he is something else. I mean, I could give you another hour on how the Packers defended him. I mean, are you just going to rush 4 on him all day long and let him run around out there like a jackass? Like, how about just standing there and building a wall and mush rushing the guy? And the Packers never made any sort of adjustment. They rarely blitzed him, and the times they did, it worked. On the
2-point conversion.
Yeah, he got walloped on that.
The 2-point conversion, they finally did something different and sent someone off the corner, and it worked. And I think the final sack, the one stop they made, I think they sent an extra rusher on that, and Preston Smith got to him. But it's like, you know, and I also wonder, did Green Bay sub out on defense at all? Because do you know how exhausting that is for those D linemen to line up snap after snap and rush the passer, get past the blocker, and then chase that guy around play after play like they were gassed? So you got to have a lot of defensive linemen ready to go against Russell Wilson. You got to rotate him in. You got to throw different things. If you just rush 4 guys at him every time, and he knows where they're coming from, you're porked.
Oh, he is something else. He really is, man. That team rode on his back all year long. So you want to talk about, like, real MVPs, like in the true most valuable / indispensable player in the league? It's him.
So
it's him.
If that's
I give you one other coaching thing since you mentioned Wilson?
Sure. Why not?
Were the Seahawks ever going to cover Davante Adams?
That's another one. It's like, take away the one thing they do and you make them beat you with their second thing. So Green Bay, don't let him run around like a jackass. Let him stand back there all day if he wants. Make him beat you with his arm. He still might, but make him beat you with the second thing. And Seattle, make Aaron throw to someone else.
I mean, there's one receiver on that team you have to cover. One.
And what did he finish with, like $170 and 2 touchdowns?
8 for 160 and 2 touches.
That should never happen.
I mean, really. Jimmy Graham had 3 catches. Fine, I'll let him catch the ball all day. Nobody else had more than one. Rodgers only had 16 completions. Half of them were to Adams. I mean, what are we doing?
So the coaching across the weekend, which is another reason, Murray, I look at the Patriots and say, if you just beat Miami and you let all these coaches make bad decisions and all these teams mismanage the game plan and let all these teams cannibalize each other, let everyone else choke and puke on themselves, and you just sit there and watch it go by. And that could have happened if they had just beaten Miami. That still could have happened. I still say that.
Yeah, I know. You got a better chance of me actually recycling than agreeing with either of you on that. The Patriots deservedly lost to Miami. They deservedly lost last week to the Titans.
One big bag.
Okay,
well,
here's
a bag and put the Patriots in it.
Here's another one. Do I have a better chance of having you recycle or admitting that Jimmy Garoppolo is legit?
Oh, recycling. What did he have to do with that game other than that first drive? Please.
It's a big drive.
So, Murray, but if he wins the next one, do you have to admit that he's legit? Didn't you say that you would do that?
When did I say that? Find the tape.
You said if he makes a Super Bowl, then I'll have to give in.
I don't remember that.
Oh, yes, you did.
Find it. Let's see. Once I hear the audio, then.
So wait a minute. If he has a big year like he has, a good statistical year, the team wins 13 games and he goes to the Super Bowl, you won't be willing to admit that he would have won at a high level here?
He's not the most important part. No.
Huh.
You would not have won at a high level here if Jimmy Garoppolo was here.
What's a high level? 10, 11 wins? Yeah, so okay. Yeah, you keep winning. You're not going to win a championship with him.
And you'll never change your mind no matter what?
No.
Well, so then what's the point of even talking about this? So it doesn't matter what happens on the field?
It's because the most important part of the Niners offense is the running game, and the defense is more important.
No, but the question is, could Garoppolo do something that would lead you to change your mind?
We'll see.
Murray, I got a Garoppolo stat for you that blows you out of the water.
Oh, is that the wins, losses?
If there, I mean, if there's no point of you ever letting the field determine what's right or wrong, then we should never even talk about it.
Okay, that's on you.
I mean,
you facilitate this one.
No, I mean, sometimes we're right, sometimes we're wrong.
Well, see, if
it's proven on the field.
If he wins the championship.
It's winning a championship, because it was before just going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't remember saying that. We'll see if he wins the championship.
I'll give you the Garoppolo stat when we come back.
Thank you. Let's do that right after this.
Boston's home for sports. Failure Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Matt.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Time for Kendrick to make a move.
Here's Jimmy Garoppolo, first and goal, 3-yard line. Fakes the gun run, throws, and is caught by Kendrick Bourne. Touchdown! San Francisco!
That feels great, baby!
You saw it right away.
I saw it right away. My wife's got the Kendrick Bourne jersey on today, baby. You had to see that happen. Jimmy Garoppolo just surveying the field. Good protection by him. They got Kendrick Bourne out. Not in the slot. Kittle's really in the slot. He challenges Xavier Rhodes and cuts inside of him, created separation and an absolute laser strike from Garoppolo.
You don't think the Patriots would have won with that guy, Murray? You still don't think that?
No. Who's to say? He's a passenger. So maybe he could be a passenger here if the defense wasn't a bit of a fraud and got exposed like it did this past year. So I'd probably get to 10, 11 wins with him.
But have you watched it this year?
Watch what now?
I mean, the games that...
the Niners that have been on? Yeah, I have. I watched this game, Mike. Yeah, other than that first drive, how was Garoppolo in this game?
Well, they didn't need him. They didn't ask him to do anything.
But when they did after that first drive, how do you look? How was that inexplicable interception that he threw right to Kendricks? Is that who it was, the linebacker of the Minnesota Vikings in their own territory, doing his best to try to change the momentum and kill the Niners' chances in that game? How was that one?
He had a couple more. He should have had like two or three, which is a big problem for him. He's loose with the ball. But there's games, big games, where they need him, where he nuts up. So like when they've needed him, he's been there. And when they don't need him, he hands off. And
a lot of handoffs.
When he plays, his stats are excellent. So, I'm not just all into the stats, but
19 interceptions. What it was?
He had 27 touchdowns and 13 interceptions. That's 2-1. He had a quarterback rating of over 100 for the season, 102, had a completion percentage of almost 70, and his team went 13-3. As a starter in his career, he's 21-5 with a 67.5 completion percentage, 100 quarterback rating with 44 touchdowns, 21 interceptions. The interceptions are a little high, but it's still 2-1, and his team's won 21 of 26 games.
22-5.
So, like,
good. Good for him. I'm going to die on this hill. I don't care if I end up with egg on my face on this. I root against Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, I need air to breathe. I don't like him.
So I root for
his failure. When he rolled his ankle in this game on Saturday, I cheered. I hoped he was hurt.
Because
I'm that kind of a bad person.
I'm not here to tell you he's one of the three best quarterbacks in the league. I'm telling you, you can win with him. And counting the playoff game, the Niners are 22-5 when he starts. But here's the really telling stat. He has been with the Niners now for at least parts of three seasons, okay? 49 games San Francisco has played in those 3 years where Jimmy Garoppolo has suited up for them. When he starts, they're 20-5. When he doesn't, they're 4-20.
So you still want C.J. Beathard, Murray?
Oh, yeah, sure. No, he's a better option.
Come on,
he's
Murray.
A better option.
Why
than
don't
C.J.
you just
Beathard?
Say he's better than you thought, and then we can move on to something else?
He's a better option than C.J. Beathard. I'll give you that.
Okay.
Let's see if he wins a Super Bowl. That's what we're going to see.
And then you'll sign we have to come up with a declaration of the letter of legitness.
Sure.
Will you sign it?
Fine. Draw it up. Let's see it.
Will you sign the paperwork?
If he wins the Super Bowl.
He has to win it.
Yep.
Because it was if he made it.
You're putting words in my mouth. I don't remember saying that.
Because I'm fair, I will acknowledge right now, If San Francisco doesn't win the whole thing, he's probably going to have something to do with it.
Well, you know, eventually they're going to be down at the end of the game and he's going to throw a pick like they all do.
No. I mean, this year, I think they're the best team left standing. They're the most complete team out there. They're at home against Green Bay. And Kansas City can light people up, but San Francisco's got a better defense than Kansas City. San Francisco should win it.
They have the best defense left, I think. I mean, that pass rush is relentless. Sherman's actually healthy for the first time in like 2 years. Like, their secondary is better than advertised. Like, they're
nasty. Silly. Look, if he loses a duel to Aaron Rodgers or Pat Mahomes, you're going to say the kid sucks?
Well, no, I'm not.
I mean, now we're just getting stupid.
Yeah, I just need, I'll make that judgment when it shakes out. I'm just telling you, I think San Francisco's got the best team.
Wait a minute. So if he throws a back-breaking pick to lose next week or in the Super Bowl, so by saying that I don't get to crow the following day? No. That's exactly what's going to happen. Because it will be because of him that the Niners don't win the championship, which is still on the table and is what I am rooting for.
I think that just is stupidity. Pure stupidity. If he loses a shootout to Aaron Rodgers, we're going to suddenly say you can't win with Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, it'd be so much simpler, Murray, just to say you underrated the kid, and then we can move on. But that's okay. We don't have to. We go back to the phones. We're going to give you a summation of the Alex Cora stuff in this commissioner's report on the Astros. He's in deep. But back to your phones, as promised. Here's Bob and Revere. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, guys. I was wondering, yesterday, towards the end of the Green Bay game, Rodgers hit the tight end Graham, third and nine, and they called it on the field a first down. Now, we know...
Bob, quickly, to the point. We just went over this. Yes, what do you think? Bad spot?
You missed something. There was a review... And then they came and they confirmed the call.
Right.
Then they had a shot timeout.
Yes.
And then the ref come on again.
Additional footage, yes. Additional footage, yes.
Additional. What's that about?
Okay. Thank you. Additional footage. I found that odd, too.
Yeah, I've never seen that before.
Oh, wait a minute. This just in. We have additional footage that we're now going to be looking at.
Someone just tweeted it.
Like, what are we... Like, that one stunk.
Yeah, that was.
I mean, I'm glad they did it. Look at everything. But, like, that's sort of the nonsense of replay. It's like, well, we got the shot. Well, we didn't get the shot. Oh, wait a minute. This just in. We just got something from Ernie up in the booth that shows what? X, Y, and Z. Like, where'd they get the additional footage from? Is it the Zapruder film?
I mean, that's a new one on me. Like, how about if that goes down and they say, actually, we're going to change it.
Exactly.
I mean, people will be pissed.
So wait a minute, let's just wait a half hour till we get Tom, Dick, and Harry's cell phone footage up in the 300s? Like, what are we doing?
See, I could tell when we saw the first couple of replays on that, I said, they're not going to change this. Too hard. It's, again, because when you look at it from one angle, you think the ball's down by his waist. And then you see the other replay, and he's got the ball up high. So, to me, as soon as I saw that, I said, there's no way to know. The ball's close enough. He got it.
And again, the TV line wasn't the line. The TV line felt like it was ahead of foot. From what where that overlay was and that little first down pylon was, feels like it was ahead of foot. So I think they got a good spot, but I don't think you could control that. And the whole thing about the league wants Aaron Rodgers in there, then why in the first quarter did they take that fumble away from Jacob Hollister, which was a really bang bang call that didn't go the Packers' way, and then they had a stupid, really sketchy offensive pass interference on a third down conversion that they had that they took off the board, too. I thought the officiating went against Green Bay early and then sort of came back to them late. They got some calls late. But on that spot, I think the TV line was the big problem. Here's the update from Murray. 90 seconds, no commercials. The latest on Alex Cora and his impending suspension.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.